It's Tuesday, January 18th, 2005, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. Hello everyone, this is Todd the Geek from Geek News Central, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. Hello everybody. Hey, it's been a wonderful, well for me anyway, I had a nice 3-day weekend. Got the holiday off today here in the United States. I know some of you had to work because I was getting emails from y'all, but nevertheless, I stayed quite busy these last 3 days. Amazingly enough, I was on the computer all weekend. So my fingers are about wiped out from typing and doing some catching up on some stuff I've had to do around here. And working on some of my little projects. And completely ignored the weblog, as most of you can see, except for a few minor posts that I made. But otherwise, it was a nice nice 3 days, and going back to work tomorrow morning. So obviously, you're getting this this podcast is being posted Tuesday morning Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we want you to send comments to geek at geeknewscentral.com, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central, or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365, and again, that's 619-342-7365. Now, I have gotten some feedback from the last show, and some people have complained, hey, throw a little more bass into your recordings, and I kind of have to laugh. I was graced with this very, very deep voice. Just kidding, folks. Obviously, I don't have the deepest voice in the world. So we put a little artificial enhanced bass in there today to see how it sounds. So, hey, anyway, thanks for the feedback. We appreciate it. Going into some of my notes. Hey, I'm looking for a dictation program. You know, one of those programs you can speak into a mic and it'll do, you know, if you're in Word, it'll just write what you say. I don't know how good those things work. If anybody's used one of those, I know there's only a couple on the market, but if anyone's used any of those commercial programs, I'd be curious to hear about it, because many times, obviously, I can speak a lot quicker than I can type, and for some of the stuff I'm doing right now, it'd be kind of cool to be able to just get the information down and then go back and clean it up later, but let us know about that. Now, it has come to my attention, and this is basically based upon some searches I've got back from PubSub and Technorati. There's a few sites out there. There's quite literally, they're stealing my content. They're basically taking everything that we put and copying it verbatim. So we've sent a couple of warnings to the site, and I'm at the point now where we're going to go after their internet service provider because they've refused to comply. So if you're one of those sites that, you know, we don't mind people using our content as long as they give us credit back. You know, put a link back to our site. You can even put the information up verbatim. But, you know, say that it came from us, not or the ones that provided it, not, you know, not just a full entry with basically with no link back to us. That pisses us off. Along with that, I always kind of do a comparison on how PubSub, Technorati's doing, how Google Alerts, and also Feedster. I don't know what it is with Feedster right now, but Feedster, their service has really, it's become almost non-usable for me. I'm not getting the kind of results from Feedster search queries as I used to. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they don't have the budget to keep up over there, but they're definitely behind. Now, Google Alerts, they've done real good in getting me some specific things that I look for, and I'm real happy with them. And TechnoRatty and PubSub, they're running neck and neck. Many times the same information I do for search terms shows up in both posts. So both of those companies have done very, very, very well. I think that's about all I've got for just administrative notes for today. And I've got quite a bit of, not a great deal of content, a little bit here for you. With the holiday, I think the news wasn't as up to speed. It was kind of like a typical Sunday night news night. So I dug around and found some pretty good stuff and some things I think you need to be aware of. I read an article on it's called the P2P, a peer-to-peer manifesto. And this thing is pretty good write-up, and I don't know how long the RIAA is going to allow this to be online, but Robin Good is the one that apparently wrote this, so check this link out, folks. This thing has got a great amount of information, and I think you'll enjoy what it has to say. It talks about digital rights and all the stuff that goes along with BitTorrent and P2P for policies for companies and being P2P is positive for the marketplace, etc. But great info and lots of links there. In WinXP news, and I want to thank Chris Prilla over at his website for providing these two. But hey, Chris, next time, man, why don't you do the direct link instead of the link up to just their main site. I had to dig around for this a little bit. But anyway, the part of the issue that talks about is extended warranties. And there's an information here about, and basically the editor's note says, lifesaver or just another scam. So I think it's well worth your time. It's probably about 2 or 3 minutes worth of reading there. But it's good information to know for all consumers to check out. On extended warranties that are being offered by, companies you go buy stuff for. You know, you always get asked at the cash register, and I know 99% of the time I just tell them, give them the hand. No, thank you. I don't want it. There's a few items I do, but the majority of stuff I don't. Now, on Boing Boing, there is an article about apparently being a committee to protect bloggers is a new clearinghouse for information on bloggers who are punished, threatened, or otherwise disadvantaged for what they post on their blogs. And she's got a link up to that. And the link actually goes to a committee to protect bloggers.blogspot.com. Pretty good info on that spot and what they've put together there. And it kind of amazes me the amount of information that it looks like they've acquired for people that have been prosecuted or sued or fired for web blogging. But let's see here. What else we got here? We also had another good one up about TV networks are fiddling with schedules to break our PVRs, in other words, TiVos, and anything that's recording video. That you've subscribed to on the network. Apparently what they're doing is they're padding the times plus and minus a few minutes. So the show that used to start right at 7 o'clock now is maybe starting at 7:03, and maybe shows that you used to watch end at 6:56 or 6:57. It's kind of curious here, and there's a comment that says, ABC is unapologetic. And basically the comment, it says, it's not my job to make it easy for people to leave our network, says ABC scheduling chief Jeff Bader. Our whole goal is to get people to stay with us from 8 to 11. Does he have a clue? Is he an idiot? You know, I'll be honest with you. I watch no live TV. I put everything on my DVR, and I go through, and if there's a show I want to watch, I watch it. And I cut out the 15 minutes worth of commercials because I fast forward to them. Fine. I'll just pad my times one way or the other to make sure I get the show. You know, that that button's got, I got a fast forward button. It'll scan through about 3 minutes worth of material in about 30 seconds. So, you know, these people are just, you know, they're desperate. They really are, because advertisers are starting to see the hit, you know, and that's cool. I don't care. It's a new network, baby. It's the way things are happening. This is 2005. This isn't 1987 when you held us by our short hairs. And it doesn't work that way no more. And that just brings me up to another point. I'm going to have to talk about it. I didn't think I would. But as all of you know, and I posted a comment on the website today about my blogging for Marquee. And I've always disclosed that I blog for them. And I've told you guys I'd be upfront on what I would have to say. But there's this idiot who is absolutely slamming the paid-to-blog program that Marquee's put together. And for those of you that have already listened to the CEO of Marquee's interview, tell me, what do you think? Do you think Marquee's being smart? And this company that's their competitor, and this guy is stressing, you know, and making comments. It looks like he's got some jealousy going on. Hey, I'll talk about their product too. But you guys, you're going to have to let me be honest. Say what I want to say, positive or negative. You know, and I got one thing negative to say about this guy's product already. And you don't even have to pay me to blog on this. I'll just say it. Let's see. Let me go down here and get the link. And we'll go to it. Go to his site. Let me find it. Did I? Yeah, here we go. This David Carter. You know, he made some revisions to his comments because he was getting what did he do? Did he delete my comment? Oh, what does it say? Oh, he deleted my DC. I just deleted a comment. It was more name calling, but targeted. Commenter below, the person who disagree. Oh, okay. He didn't remove my comment. But what it is their website truncates comments at 500 characters. He's using this product called iUpload. David, come on, man. Fix it. You know, if you work there, you're going to have comments on your site. You better have comments all the way through. You know, allow us to say what we want to say. Sure, I could have broke it up into 5 posts, but I didn't know it truncated at 500 characters, or I would have. And, you know, he did make a comment here that said if we're bloggers that disclose what we're doing, you know, we're not, as he quoted, pond scum. He's basically calling Marquee pond scum for doing what they're doing. I think it's just a matter of jealousy that they didn't figure it out first. You know, you do a search on Marquee on Google, then you do a search on, what's this company, iUpload, and see what kind of hit rates they get. You know, let's be obvious. Hey, you know, I didn't know Marquee either before I got hooked up with them. But, you know, I've learned their package, and I think I've found some interesting things about it, and I know that, you know, basically what it would cost to get one set up in a month, you know, what the monthly rotation fees would be, and, you know, it's a serious product. And I'm not comparing it to any of the other CMS program, because guess what? No other content management system software company has approached me to say, hey, give us a comparison of our product to theirs. We'll pay you to do that. Hey, I'm not against taking money, but I'll be giving an honest assessment. I'll do an honest comparison. You know, Marquee hasn't said I can't do that. But enough on that. But anyway, this comment that David Carter made on the 12th just struck me as wrong. And I've said enough about it. I'll continue on here with the rest of the news. I apologize to all you guys for being on that rant. But hey, I just had to say it. And no, I am thick-skinned and I'm cool. But I'm just wondering when companies are going to wake up to the fact that blogging is changing the way things are happening in the world. You know, we are having an impact. Companies that don't think that web bloggers are doing good. You know, there's guys out there that are whack, let's be honest. But, you know, I try to bring a serious product to you guys. I try to bring serious commentary. I try to give you my thoughts on it. And again, it's my thoughts. Not anyone else's. Not influenced by anyone else. It's my thought. It's what Todd thinks in his heart. You know, so take it or leave it, you know. And this is what basically what this podcast is all about. So that you guys know where I'm coming from. But, you know, it just trips me out sometimes. You know, these PR companies, they're all high and mighty. They all got their, I'm not saying that having a degree or having a master's degree or a PhD is a bad thing. I think education is good. You know, I'm going back to college to knock some stuff out for myself. You know, I think education is good. But most of these people, you know, the hierarchy, they have lived in this envelope. And I think Dave Weiner talked the other day about this pod or something. They lived in their pod and they haven't come outside of their pod. They're not willing to think outside the box. I hate people that aren't willing to work outside the box, that think outside the box. If I had an employee that, if I asked him his opinion and he toted the company line every time, I'd probably want to fire him. You know, you want people to be aggressive. You want them to come up with new ideas. You want them to be able to think and express themselves. You know, if I had a company and I had, I would say, hey, game on. Web blogging is go ahead, post what you want to post. So, yeah, no, I guess maybe I'm new generation, I'm new wave. I'm old school, but I get it. Maybe the rest of these companies don't. But anyway, let's get on to the news. I quit. Get off my damn soapbox here. You know, the podcasting thing, I've always said that the way we're going to totally impact this whole network is be able to get this content delivered to wherever we are, anytime, any place, and have it follow us and be bookmarked. So if I listen to a podcast here in the house on the PC, and I leave to get in my car, I should be able to get in my car and pick right up without moving a mobile device. And I think we're, you know, people are starting to think about that. And it's not quite there yet, obviously. But it's, you know, there's with some patents that are being requested today. But let me go back. There's a guy that's going to be putting in a media center in his car. And yeah, this is kind of cool. Going to have a little mobile media center. He's going to have a computer with touch screens. And just figure out a way to get that thing to run at night when the car's not running so it doesn't kill your generator. And hey, Wi-Fi antenna, we can sync that car at night, folks. You know, it can sit there and pull down the data from the primary server in the house. We can make this happen. But how many of us are willing to go put a mobile media center in our car? I think it was small enough, and if someone built one, you know, build it to sit in the dash like your car radio does, let's get rid of that car radio. Let's yank that thing out, and let's throw it on the ground. You take a sledgehammer to it and be done with it. No more radio. And let's get the content that we want to listen to all the time, everywhere, anytime, any place. You know, take the man out of the equation and take back the airways. And there's really no airways. Just control the digital media that we're listening to. So, yeah, someone builds one, I'll buy one. Sure, why not? I'm going to fit in my dashboard. That'd be cool. Now, along with that, you know, we're all talking about as bashing the television companies for having changing the times on their TiVo, basically on the programming, so that when you use a TiVo or whatever, it'll jack your recordings up. Well, apparently, the reason the CEO got fired over TiVo, and this is speculation, is it because he killed the deal between Comcast and TiVo, and he was bitching that there wasn't enough money, so that, you know, the deal fell through. But apparently, that was about $500 million. Yeah, folks, $500 million with a B of revenues lost because they didn't create that partnership. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with TiVo. I hope they make it. Now, Earthlink, Earthlink's got I guess they're doing a corporate weblog, which is cool, but they don't have comments opened up on it. And apparently, right now, the only guy that we have found so far that is blogging, he's the Director of Product Management for Communication Applications at Earthlink. Oh, that's a impressive name. I wonder if he puts that on his resume. But anyway, I'd like to talk to their customer service person. I get home last week on Friday evening, and my wife says, "Hey, some collection agency called us and said we owe $26.02 to Earthlink." I'm like, "I haven't had an Earthlink account in 2.5 years. How's that possible?" So I called the lady back, and she goes, "Yeah, they apparently you owe them money. They've turned it over to us for a collection." Folks, I lived in the same house for 6.5 years. Never have missed a bill, never have been late, nothing. No issue whatsoever with any type of financial trouble. Nothing. I've never had a problem. And so I was a little distressed that I owed them, that basically some collection agency's coming after me. So I told her, "Okay, I'm gonna call Earthlink." Called Earthlink up. "Oh, yes, sir. We've been trying to collect from you for 2 years." I'm like, "Where's my bill? Where's my notice?" "Oh, we sent you a bill," and she tells me this date like 2 years ago. And I said, "Well, I was direct billing on a credit card. How's that possible? You should have just charged the card." "Well, sir, when you close the account, you have to send us a letter of termination and da 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 da." And so, in other words, I owed him $26. But I'm just. Matter of fact, I'm gonna have to write that up on the web log. And I don't mind paying a company what I owe them, but when you have something on auto bill on a credit card, you expect it's taken care of. You don't worry about it. You call and cancel a service. Hey, you know what? Bill me for what I owe you. Take it. I'm not gonna bitch. I'm gonna look at my credit card bill every month, and I can see what I owe or don't owe someone. If I get a charge on there I don't think's right, I'm gonna call them. But so anyway, $26, 2 years, and they got their money. But amazing. And I could have disputed it because, but the thing is, it's 2 years ago. How am I to know one way or another if they didn't just jack me for 2 months worth of service and get some money out of me for nothing? Who knows? But if you guys got a tie with Earthlink, anybody out there works at Earthlink, I'd like to talk to you. What are your guys' true policies? Instead of get some drone, probably some person in another country sitting on a support line. That stuff sucks. Okay, I'm kind of in the mood today, aren't I, folks? All right, but hey, I don't have it as bad as some guys do. There's this joker out in Boston that's cutting telephone lines. He's basically going up to finding major trunk lines and just chopping them ha and with a saw, going after them with an electrical saw. So, if your phones go out in the Boston area, you're gonna be the victim of this joker. But hey, folks, that's serious, cutting the phone lines. Phew. You just pray nobody's gonna get hurt or have an emergency in the area. So. If kids are out doing that, they're gonna get caught and they're gonna get strung up, But if it's some adult, it's bad news. Bad, 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 bad. All right, what else I got? Oh, hey Robert, you listen to the podcast? Robert Scoble, yeah, I'm talking to you. Hey, why don't you ask your hierarchy why the anti-spyware app that you guys launched, you have to go through your Verify program to check and make sure that you have a legitimate version of Windows? Don't I do that when I register the product? Do you guys not trust us? Do you think we're lying? It's like Microsoft is starting to treat their customers like criminals. Guilty until proven innocent. That's what it's all about. So I'll let you guys read the article on Tech Dirt. But, hey, guess what? I don't need your spyware program. Flush. I got all my licenses. You want to call me? I'll give you a photocopy of all the Microsoft licenses I have here. But I'm not going through your authentication program again. Not after I've authenticated once. You're not going to waste my time again. You know, you're pissing us off. And tell your people you're pissing us off too. Thanks. Okay, Apple. These guys, you know, they're still gonna, this 19-year-old who's being sued by Apple, who had the ThinkSecret.com website, needs some help. He's not financially able to defend himself, and he needs a lawyer. Probably gonna need a bunch of money. So I'll stand up and say, okay, I'll give $20 towards his thing. I gotta find out where he's accepting donations at. But if anybody wants to help this guy out, let's step up. I think that it's unfair that Apple's going after this guy. If he was the New York Times, Apple would be like sitting in the corner cowering. But no, they're gonna sue this guy because he got some a little bit of information that pissed them off, that got them ruin their Macworld announcement. Bunch of babies, absolutely a bunch of babies. You know, oh, we're protecting our intellectual property rights. Please give me a break. You know, no one today can keep their mouth shut. You know, I don't care. There's people that are just too eager to yak, 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 yak about products. So I don't care who you are, where you are, what you do, no matter what, something's going to get out. Now, that reminds me, you know, I'm working on this little project. I got this project going. And I've had to clue a few people in. But I got all those people's names, that very short list of names, on a piece of paper of who I've talked to. And you can damn well guarantee if anybody blabbermouths unannounced, or if it gets around to me that someone's talked to somebody else, I'm going to go after these guys. I'm going to say, hey, you talked. And then when I can talk about this thing, I'm sure they're not. I trust these guys. I really, really do. I trust them. I trust them. I trust them. And some of them I've developed real good friendships with. But point in case, if someone did talk, then I'd be able to go back and say, one of you two or three or four said something to somebody. You know, Apple has non-disclosure agreements with their employees and with contractors. I've signed non-disclosure agreements before with software firms. And the amount of money that you can get taken to court for and sued is written right on the non-disclosure agreement. You know, they'll seek penalties in excess of, you know, dollar, dollar, dollar amount. So, you know, go after those people. You know, filter on who's watching. You know, filter who you're releasing your information to a little better. You know, get a clue. With big projects like that, no matter what, they're hard to control, hard to keep the lid on it. So, we'll see. Let's see here. What am I going to talk about next? This article is basically about if you're a Red Hat user, Linux Red Hat user, you need to check out, go on online, and they've got some patches for some three urgent security patches that need to be put in place. In the same context, I did read an article today where a baseline release of Linux is now, because it's becoming more secure, is, you know, it stays online about 70 days before a baseline Linux install can be hacked. So obviously, the Linux folks have got their game together when it comes to pretty much patching their stuff up. But you know, just like Microsoft folks, you know, you got to keep an eye on this stuff. So if you're a Linux user, buzz over to their website and get those patches so that you're all hooked up. You're not going to be not going to be susceptible to any issues. Now, if anybody out there has got a deep wallet and wants to hook a brother up, Engadget's got this way cool product they've reviewed. It's the Lacy 2 terabyte biggest F800 drive. This thing is a network drive. It's got external RAID enclosures, But the main thing is 2 terabytes of storage. Oh, I could put that thing to use. So if anybody wants to hook me up, give me a Christmas present worth 10 years worth of Christmas presents, yeah, I could use one of these bad boys. Along with that, I need to do some research using... I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, folks, but I need to do some research using a Mac. So if anybody is listening to this in Hawaii that has a Mac, I'd like to hook up with you and maybe come over to your place. And I want to do some checking out on how Mac does some processes for some stuff I'm working on. I don't own one myself, and I don't necessarily want to drink the Kool-Aid. But I need to see how some things are working. But, hey, if anybody's here in Hawaii that's got a Mac that's listening to the show, give me a call, primarily in Oahu, and let's hook up. Okay, XM is filing for on-demand and cell phone patents. Apparently, right before CES, they went after some patent applications that are going to... let's see here. What does Engadget has to say here? Should I read it verbatim? You guys hate it when I do that. But it's basically going to allow you to do, sounds like XM via your cell phone or some other products too. They got some diagrams here. But pretty cool. Pretty cool. Hey, XM, I got a bunch of tech podcasters that would love to get our content up on one of your channels. If you're listening, give us a call. Let's hook up and let's get some tech podcast up on the old XM satellite so we can start having this unfiltered, uncontrolled content sent down on the old XM system. All right. What else have I got here? Oh man, over the weekend we had a big deal here. We had the Cassini and Huygens, I guess that's how you pronounce it, the Huygens probe successfully entered Titan's atmosphere. Parachutes deployed and got good data. They made it to the ground, and apparently the probe was on ground for about transmitted for about 90 minutes. Now the thing I don't like is that the Huygens probe was run by, and I'm skipping over here, I've got to go back through these articles, by the European Space Agency. They have not updated their website since the 15th. Hello? Hello? You guys are definitely not NASA. You know, NASA would have been on the ball and making sure they got all the images, all the information up as quickly as possible so that, you know, a bang for the buck. I guess they're not worried about their funding, but, you know, a lot of information is not on their website. That being said, let's see here, where was the article at? Hopefully I'll run into it soon. There was a dude that has, okay, Anthony Likens, and I'll put the link up for his site, has scored a whole bunch of more pictures. I don't know how he got them, but he's the man to go see. And his site got /dotted and survived. So I'd like to know what host he's using. But anyway, lots of cool pictures. A lot of stuff that you're not going to see out of the ESA website. Nothing that NASA's got up online. So check it out. Good stuff. Okay, we're all looking for music. And I'm looking for music that's not under control of the man, the RIAA, BMI, whoever. 3Hive. www.3hive.com. Oh, looks like... well, I was told this is a site that's got music that can be released. Well, anyway, check it out. And hopefully all the music that's on his site is... non-RIA approved, and but hey, he's got, whew, looks like he's got some good music up anyway, but check it out, and I'm going to download some after the show, and I'll let you know on the next show how it is, but But I just got the link, so sorry I couldn't really get you any more info than that. Hey, there's this lawyer, and I'm sure everyone's seen this already, but this Martin Schwimmer, and if any of you guys are lawyers out there, I apologize, but we all know how far we can trust lawyers, right? Not further than throw them. But God bless them when you need them, right? Anyway, he asked Bloglines to remove his blog from their system. And basically, he had a Creative Commons license similar to ours. I think, matter of fact, exactly like ours. But he had an issue with Bloglines. Well, I don't know if this guy understands it or not. RSS, we all know RSS just has the stuff in it that's on our primary website. It doesn't have any of our advertisers or anything like that from the actual side columns. But apparently he asked him to remove it because Bloglines is going to be making money. Hopefully soon Bloglines will make some money through advertising. And he felt that his information was being stripped unfairly and it wasn't in alliance with his Creative Commons license. Oh boy, all kinds of commentary all over the net on this today. And apparently this is not the first time this issue's been brought up. So, hey, check this thing out. There's Robert Scoble has a ton of links up to it. And the primary link I'm going to put you to takes you to all that stuff. So if you haven't caught up on that already, go ahead and do that. Okay, hey, Doc Searles, man, this guy rocks, you know. I read his weblog, and not, you know, there's a tendency for him to go well, but every once in a while, man, he comes up with a zinger. And got a great thing on why we need an iPod competitor. And he's actually, Eric Rice put a comment on here. There's a something in here, including a comment from Eric Rice, that he talked to someone at CS that is a Taiwanese company. It's interesting hearing for specs for an iPod competitor. And they want some comments. So, hey, if you guys got some ideas for an iPod replacement or even any type of mobile media device replacement, get to this link on Doc Searles' website. Make your comments on what you'd like to see in a media client. And this Taiwanese firm is listening, so here's your chance, folks. Get out there and make your point. Okay, now, Dave Weiner put a post up on his website. This is probably the juiciest tip of the day. Dave Weiner put a post up the other day. He got an email from someone important that could fix, that they were the only ones that could fix it. And I had suspected it was either Bill Gates or Steve Jobs that had called Dave. Well, I should have thought about it a little longer. But apparently Google, the speculation over on ThreadWatch, is that Google is going to solve the comment spam issue. Dave made a change on one of his websites and added a, what do they call this? It's REL equals no follow. And I guess that's some command within in HTML that stops a indexer from following the link. So, check out what ThreadWatch, I think ThreadWatch has got it right, because Dave's, one of Dave's sites shows a change that's got this new, tag in there, if you want to call it that. But I do want to thank the folks at ThreadWatch for, giving me credit for maybe partially being right. I guess I wasn't, but, I know that, a couple of you that, listen to the site thought I was wrong too. Webfeed Central, I know that you guys were speculating, but I don't know the company that you guys were talking about in your web post. So why don't you tell me who you think it was? You guys didn't put it out there. You put a city name, and I didn't know what. I guess I'm going to have to find out where Google has their offices at, and then go back and reread your article on that. But I got two links to that. Let's see here, to this information. Let's see what else we got. I'm almost done with the information here. We're 39 minutes. I have yacked away. I got some more stuff here. Let's go. Okay, LiveJournal. Yeah, you guys are on LiveJournal. You've had some problems this weekend. Apparently, they've had some power issues, and their site is slowly coming back online. They had some, getting the databases back in took longer than normal. What else do I have? I don't want to talk about that. Don't want to talk about some tech. What else? Oh, 18 million Firefox downloads so far, folks. They reached that on the 14th of January, so keeps rolling on, keeps rolling on. And also, let's not forget, up there on Mars, the two rovers are still kicking it. Spirit's going up Husband Hill, and it's got some traction issues, but they're making progress. And Spirit is going up. It's also going up a hill, and they're all. Well, Spirit is going up Husband Hill, and Opportunity is looking at something to do with the heat shield. But anyway, links up to that, and let's not forget those two rovers are out there still kicking it. We are at 41 minutes. No music today, folks. That's it. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening to the Geek News Central podcast. I'm Todd the Geek at Geek News Central. You can reach me at geek@geeknewscentral.com, Skype me at Geek News Central, or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Aloha from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. This has been the podcast for Tuesday, January 18th, 2005. Aloha, folks. See you later. Bye-bye.